Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the election, and we're going to get some of the latest news about the election, too. But first, maybe it's two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we were talking about the election, and here's at least what one person had to say.
This is Kevin in Bradenton. I just wanted to mention from today's show that the MAGA hats that are being made in China are a stark reminder to me that the most important thing to the Trumpsters that are selling them and to Trump himself is money. That's the reason that they're being made in China, is so that somebody can make more money. Because if they were made in America, apparently there would be less profit. So that's it. That's what they love, money. And it's almost like they're God.
Well, there you have one listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Soon we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. First of all, the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections sends this message that in-person early voting will continue daily through November 1st, that's Sunday, with 26 sites open in Hillsborough County from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Voters can vote at any early voting site during this period and should visit the early voting page of the votehillsborough.org website to find a convenient location. Vote-by-mail ballots must be in the office, the Supervisor of Elections office, in your county by 7 p.m. on Election Day to be counted. If they come in after 7 p.m., the ballot will not count. So don't plan to mail your ballot at this point. Just take your ballot down to the Supervisor of Elections office and turn it in person. The Hillsborough Area Regional Transit Authority is offering free rides to Hillsborough County polling locations on Election Day. Voters can ride at no charge in all HART services by showing their valid voter information card on November 3rd, 2020. So you get a free ride to the polls on Election Day from HART in Hillsborough County. We're trying to give you information about other nearby counties in just a moment. Again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. This next story comes to us from Daniel Figueroa IV, who's on our staff now, and it is election-related. A bill in Congress would provide relief to independent venues around the country that have been forced to close or limit their operations during shutdowns. Daniel Figueroa IV reports a panel of professional performers affected by COVID-19 by the pandemic joined Congressmember Charlie Crist on Wednesday to announce support for the Save Our Stages Act. Let's listen to Daniel's report right now.
The White House listed ending the COVID-19 pandemic as a first-term accomplishment Tuesday. But for the millions still out of work, like those in the performance industry, there's only one response to that assertion.
It's just kind of absurd.
St. Petersburg-based singer-songwriter and talent booker Katie Talbert lost a massive portion of her income once bars and restaurants shut down. She then converted part of her home into a studio to continue booking artists and started DTSP Live, Saved by Streaming. Since March, she streamed nearly 150 performances where out-of-work musicians can earn money from crowdsourced tips.
Given the struggle that so many musicians are still facing, given that budgets are consistently being cut for performers on a daily basis, even today, it's kind of ridiculous to say that we've beat the pandemic, because that's just not the case.
Talbert is one of many performers who've worked to keep arts alive in an increasingly virtual world. Matthew McGee, an actor representing Freefall Theater Company on the call, said up until March 13th, he'd worked consistently in Florida theater and film since 2001. He, too, knew he'd have to be creative to survive the pandemic.
I have felt like the pandemic is a wave. I either can let it crash down on me or try to ride it as best I can.
McGee is also a drag performer and was able to link with a company doing virtual shows. For someone used to the energy of live performance, though, it's not the same.
I miss the interaction of live performance. There's really nothing like it, being in the room with everyone else.
Freefall, too, has been able to adapt. The company now offers drive-in performances, but performers and venues are still losing money as the pandemic continues, with record numbers of cases still being reported and the uncertainty of future shutdowns looming. And even as things slowly open up, performers report that they are being asked to perform in unsafe conditions, often being asked to play inside of packed bars. Cassandra Rose, a singer, said 90% of her income came from live performances before the pandemic. She's now had to accept that performing live won't be part of her life for a while.
There are musicians who are being asked to gig in unsafe conditions. They're out of unemployment. They are out of savings. They're almost out of their home. And what are they going to do?
Rose said some venues are going through great pains to allow performers a safe space to play live, but there's not enough work among them. For some, though, work is just not possible. Saoirse Ibargüen was among the thousands of Disney employees recently laid off despite repeated promises that work would return as soon as 2 weeks after the initial shutdown. She said the losses aren't just felt by performers themselves, but the people throughout the country and world who enjoy live performance. Even places like Disney World, where she performed, are no longer the same.
It's completely dead, and I think that's what our society and our community feels like, because we don't have that life force, that beating heart that is our arts and entertainment. That's what brings us together.
And it's not just the performers themselves who feel the effects of shutdowns. The support staff at venues like custodians, servers, and technicians are all out of work as well. The Save Our Stages Act would provide grants of up to $12 million for venues to use for payroll, rent, personal protective equipment, and other costs. Congressmember Chris said the legislation also put protections in place to ensure money went to independent venues in the most dire need of assistance. Chris said he's hopeful to gain traction for the legislation, even as relief talks continue to be pushed until after next week's election.
I'm an optimist, and I am extremely hopeful that once we get past the election, we have an opportunity to get back to Washington and hopefully get something through and get something done that gives people relief because they need it. People are hurting, and I heard it in your voices today.
For WMNF News, I'm Daniel Figueroa IV.
All right. Thanks, Daniel, for that report. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. That story touches on the election. We're going to get deeper into the election right now and take your phone calls in a few minutes. You can call us up at 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. We've got some more Florida early voting statistic numbers for you. These are, I think, the latest numbers available. 7.8 million Floridians have voted already, either in person or by mail. That's 55.6% of all registered voters. There are about 14 million registered voters here in the state of Florida. Now, Democrats have a slight advantage so far. 40% of people who voted early are Democrats. 37.9% of people who voted early are Republicans. So Democrats right now have about a 2% advantage. The third party and NPA people, they comprise about 22% of people who've already cast their ballots. Now, where those ballots have been cast is really important, and I want to tell you about the counties where they are doing either above the state average or below the state average. In Broward County, they're below the state average. Broward is a Democratic stronghold, and they are at 53.8%. That's about 2% below the statewide average. Charlotte County is a Republican stronghold. They're above the statewide average. They're at 57.5%. That's about 2% above the statewide average. Hillsborough County is 2 points or 3 points below the statewide average. Lee County, which is a Republican stronghold, they're way above the statewide average. They're about 4% above the statewide average. In Manatee County, they're below the statewide average, slightly about 3%. Miami-Dade, which is important to Democrats, they are below the statewide average at about 2% below the statewide average. Palm Beach, which is an important Democratic county, they are below the statewide average by about 5%. Pasco County, which tends to lean Republican, they are below the statewide average. They're about 4 points below. Pinellas County is about 2 points below the statewide average. Polk County is way below the statewide average, about 11 or 12 points below the statewide average for early voting. And Sarasota County is above by about 2%. So those are some of the voting numbers. Again, about 55.6% of all registered voters have already voted. One of the key constituencies this time may be young people. It's pretty unusual for young people to come out in big numbers. It used to happen in the Vietnam War days that young people came out to vote in big numbers, and then it kind of lagged off. But now, poll released on Monday by Harvard University's Institute of Politics surveyed 18 to 29-year-olds and found that 63% said they would definitely vote in the election, which is the highest proportion of respondents in the 20 years that the poll of young voters has been conducted. It's also far higher than in 2016 when the Harvard Youth Poll found 47% of respondents said they would definitely vote in that year's election. So young people could make a big difference if they do come out in numbers at 63%. We'll see if that holds up. And again, if you want to comment, you can send an email into dj@wmnf.org. Well, let's get into what happened yesterday in Tampa. The campaigns of Joe Biden and Donald Trump held rallies yesterday in Tampa with the leaders of their campaigns, Joe Biden and Donald Trump. In Tampa yesterday, 17 attendees needed medical attention. A dozen were taken to the hospital for treatment. Trump spoke for just under an hour yesterday in the afternoon in 87-degree heat at an event outside Raymond James Stadium to supporters, few of whom were wearing masks. Joe Biden spoke last night at an invitation-only drive-in event in Tampa at the Tampa Fairgrounds. And we're going to hear a report from WMNF's Daniel Figueroa IV again. He was at both events, and this is what he saw and heard.
At the Florida State Fairgrounds, Biden delivered an evening speech cut short by rain. Earlier in the day, at least 10 Trump supporters needed medical attention because of heat, while others fell to pray. Brandon Russell lay prone on the ground amid a sea of discarded water bottles and, overcome with emotion after President Trump's speech, he asked God to help.
If you send revival to America starting with President Trump, do it, President Trump, do it. Here I am, Lord, send me, use me, God.
The two major presidential candidates laid out very different visions of and for America, as Florida remains a crucial battleground state for both. In the northern lots of Raymond James Stadium, mammoth American flags flanked the stage while a blue Make America Great Again banner hung amid rafters packed with supporters. The Village People's Macho Man filled the makeshift arena until abruptly cutting as the president was introduced.
Macho, macho, macho man, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
It didn't take long before Trump criticized how Biden would handle the COVID-19 pandemic.
You will have a crippling depression, the likes of which you've never seen, if Sleepy Joe becomes your president.
The Trump administration has listed ending the pandemic as a first-term accomplishment, despite record numbers of daily positive cases continuing to be reported. Biden, at his rally, had a very different view of how he'd handle things.
I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm going to shut down the virus.
Trump has been criticized for his COVID-19 response, but said his administration would continue encouraging social distancing and mask wearing.
Social distance. We do all of the things that you have to do. If you get close, wear a mask. Always controversial. It's not controversial to me. You get close, you wear a mask.
The crowd of thousands, however, stood shoulder to shoulder with hardly a mask in sight. Trump promised a vaccine would be delivered soon, despite his own medical experts saying that wasn't possible.
You're going to have it in a few weeks. It's coming very quickly. And we will make it available to everybody free. It's not your fault.
At his rally, Biden accused Trump of spreading more than the virus.
They're spreading more than just coronavirus. He's spreading division and discord.
Trump, meanwhile, returned to his attacks on news and the press.
We are in big trouble with the press. They are truly the enemy of the people.
Members of the crowd cursed at and even spit on reporters covering the event. During his 90-minute speech to a largely white crowd, Trump frequently repeated many of the same talking points, including unsubstantiated reports that Biden collected money from China and wants to defund police. Biden has publicly stated he does not support defunding the police. He also accused Biden of opposing fracking, then changing his mind in an attempt to win Pennsylvania.
All of a sudden he changes. Yes, I have nothing against fracking. And the press doesn't call about on it, right?
Biden has maintained any fracking ban would be exclusive to federal land and offered a greener view of America's future.
We can unleash American ingenuity and manufacturing and build a stronger, more climate-resistant nation, creating millions of new high-paying jobs.
Biden spoke to a masked and distanced crowd for under 20 minutes. He urged Florida to vote and said Florida was battling for the soul of the nation, the message displayed on his podium.
Abraham Lincoln said a house divided cannot stand. Well, a nation divided cannot stand.
Among Trump's promises to the crowd was returning to the moon and beyond.
America will land the first woman on the moon, and the United States will be the first nation to land an astronaut on Mars. It's already happening.
And before he left the stage, again to the sounds of the Village People, this time the song YMCA, he repeated his signature promise.
We will make America great again. Thank you, Florida. Get out and vote. Thank you.
For WMNF News, I'm Daniel Figueroa IV.
Well, that's Daniel's story about the rally yesterday, the dueling rallies, one in the evening with Joe Biden, one in the afternoon with Donald Trump. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. David writes this. He says, regarding Daniel's story on the dueling rallies, I was just reading Daniel's story on the website. I found it really interesting about Daniel's video of the guy laying on the ground, flat on the ground, at Ray J chewing grass and praying for Trump to win. I think that this is indicative of the collective brain damage among Trump supporters. Now, this is David's words, and they really need to wake up. David writes, it's sad to see that so many are easily duped by Trump. David's opinion. And then Dave in Pasco says, I bought a MAGA hat in Cocoa Beach, and it is made in America. Please do not assume that all MAGA hats are made in China. Dave, thank you for your email. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Simon writes this, I'm voting for a leader, not a politician of 47 years in the government. Yes, the press is continuing to control the culture. That's Simon's opinion. And then John sent a long email. I'm not sure I can do justice to it. It looks like it involves Ukraine, the Council on Foreign Relations, Chuck and Jeff from Port Richey. John, thanks for that. It really is not ear-friendly because it's so long, and I'm not sure I can distill it quickly as we try to do these radio programs live and in the moment. So it's hard for me to go back and read an entire email and also host the show. Let's go to Patricia in Brandon. Hey, Patricia, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Oh, yes. I think that Trump will bring fascism. So I'm not surprised that people got sick at the stadium, you know, because he just brings destruction everywhere he goes. But I wanted to ask you a question. Is there a way that you could interview Ian Sancho, the legendary Florida elections supervisor? He has some very interesting comments about the election.
I think it was on our HD 3 channel this week on the Brad blog show. And, you know, between now and the election day, I don't think I'm going to have time to interview Ian Sancho. Patricia, he's been on MNF many times before. Maybe we'll interview him on the day after the election to see what his take on whether or not voting was interfered with here in Florida.
Yeah, he says that there is a probability that because of the computers, or I mean the modems, they have modems, you know, and they use those to send the information via the internet, and those modems can be hacked by people from, who knows, Russia, from anywhere.
All right. Well, I will put Ian Sancho on my list of people to invite. I've invited a lot of people. Thanks a lot, Patricia. Okay. All right, great to hear from you. We've got an open line, and if you want to call up, you can get on pretty quickly, 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, I'm going to follow up on an email. It wasn't really meant for you to read on the air. I'm sorry, I should have clarified that. Actually, what I want to do is I want to challenge Chuck and Jeff from Port Richey, who are obviously on the conservative side of things, to watch. I sent you the video link that I hope that you can send to them. So I want them to watch the video interview with Joe Biden on the Council for American Foreign Affairs, I think it was, and specifically about the last 10 minutes. And I want them to give me their take on what Joe Biden was talking about. And also, I sent you a link to a video, and I also sent you a PDF file on a U.S. Senate hearing on Ukraine and 2 years after the invasion of Russia, specifically about 29 minutes in with Newland, I think her name is. I want them to listen to those interviews and maybe read that PDF file, especially like on page 11.
John, I'm so sorry to say this is important stuff, but it's so deep into the weeds, and nobody who's listening of the millions of people who can hear us, nobody understands what you're talking about. I'm not saying it's not important, but it is so deep in the weeds. Do you have a comment about Tuesday's election that you'd like to share with the audience?
Just get out and vote. But I'm just thinking that's like real news versus fake news, and I want their opinion on that.
Okay. All right. Well, if Chuck and Jeff and some of the Trump supporters who call all the time want to share their email with me, I will forward your email to them. Or maybe they could just give their email out over the air, and then you can send it directly to them. Doug in Clearwater writes, I'm a scrawny little guy, but if Daniel needs a bodyguard in the future, I'd be there. The Trump supporter eating grass and praying, that's twisted, writes Doug, who's in Clearwater. We're going to hear some more about what happened yesterday in Tampa between, we'll hear more of what President Trump said yesterday and also hear more of what Joe Biden said yesterday. But if you want to call up, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, Rob, good morning. As your reporter said, some of the media were cursed and spat upon. Now, what does that say about Trump supporters? I mean, you know, that is just indecent behavior. There's no doubt about it. And also, I think on MSNBC, the guy reporting from Tampa here said that he had been to a lot of rallies, of Trump's rallies, and this crowd here in Tampa had won the prize for the least mask being worn. Even behind him, I counted two people with masks on. Two. And usually that's where they pack them with masks, just to make believe that they're, you know, are following the guidelines and everything. So, you know, it's just four more days to go, Rob. Four more days to go. And, you know, have you heard about Glenn Greenwald?
Yeah, he resigned from The Intercept, yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you about him. I know that he's on the progressive side a lot, Rob. I've heard him. But I've seen him showing up on the only place he does TV remotes is from Fox. And he's on Fox News, and I've seen him with Laura Ingraham, I've seen him with Sean Hannity, and I've seen him with Tucker Carlson, and he has a very, very, very pleasant relationship with him. He said that the reason that he resigned was because that it was his magazine, right?
He helped co-found The Intercept a few years ago, yes.
Right, and some of his people that he wanted to write about Biden now, about this Hunter Biden thing, and he said he just wanted to be fair. That's his whole thing. That they went against him, and therefore he protested by resigning. What do you think of that, Rob?
Well, I think people should look, Danny. I think people should look it up for themselves on the internet. You can find both Glenn Greenwald's statement, and you can find the statement of the people who run the internet. Greenwald famously says at the end of his statement that. This is not a personal attack. I really like the people I work with. Betsy, who was my editor, is one of the smartest people I ever worked with. It all comes down to, allegedly, Greenwald was picking up where the New York Post left off on the Hunter Biden conspiracy theories. And so that's why apparently he had problems with the management of The Intercept, and that's why he left. I think the reason why he has a good relationship with Fox is that he's always been a booster of the leaked Hillary emails theory, and he's also he is a progressive on some issues. but he's also a pretty far libertarian on some issues. So he has a mix of those. That's kind of his ideology. Hey, speaking of Danny, thanks a lot. Speaking of Hunter Biden, Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show went out to Pennsylvania just this week, and he was asking people at a Trump rally how they would describe what the Hunter Biden conspiracy theory actually is. So we're hearing from Fox News that Hunter Biden did something dastardly and maybe criminal. And so Jordan went out and he asked voters who are Trump voters, describe the conspiracy theory. What does it encompass? And these are the answers he got.
I wanted to wrap my head around their Hail Mary October surprise. And that's Hunter Biden and his, well, I'll just let them explain it.
You can see on, you know, Fox and One American News about the laptop, the Hunter Biden's laptop, and then all the corruption taking money from the different countries, you know, from Russia and China. Then Joe Biden would do whatever these countries needed.
Well, what did he do?
Well, either what he did or did not do.
What did he do?
Well, it's yet to be determined exactly what he did.
I saw pedophilia in China, something like that.
Do you believe it?
I don't know. That's something I have to look into a lot more.
We see about like the Hunter Biden scandal.
What exactly happened with that?
I think they found a laptop that had, you know, emails.
Who did?
And,
who was it? The FBI.
They found a laptop with like emails and pictures of, you know, Biden talking with like Ukraine and China about business deals and stuff like that. And
which Biden?
Hunter Biden.
Then did something happen?
They want to push it to get it, you know, get the investigation underway before the election.
Yeah.
But what's the investigation of?
About just the laptop and
seeing what was on it.
What was on the laptop?
I mean, conspiracy theorists would say that it's Joe Biden and Hunter Biden communicating with, you know, outside countries on business deals and stuff like that.
Are you calling him a conspiracy theorist? That's just what he said.
Right.
The conspiracy, some people.
Only because it hasn't been proven
yet.
Make a ton of money and do absolutely nothing except say, hey, you can meet my dad.
That's a disgusting trait, right? To just use your father's name to make money off of that?
Absolutely. Nepotism needs to be looked into big time.
Yes. What do you think about Ivanka?
Oh, she's so gracious.
I see Ivanka as someone who is following or creating and enhancing people's lives around jobs and training and whatever causes she has, just like Lady Diana had 20 years ago. She had certain causes, AIDS and different things like that she was involved
in. Was Lady Diana seeking copyrights in China while she had a position of power?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so there's some Trump voters trying to explain the Hunter Biden conspiracy mystery. And the last part was a reference to Ivanka Trump, the daughter of the president, trying to trade on her family name to get approval for very valuable copyrights from China. So she did that, but apparently that last guy didn't know anything about it. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Email address dj@wmnf.org. David writes this: the Village People have repeatedly asked that their music not be played at Trump rallies. They are considering filing suit to stop it. That's Dave in Melrose, Florida. So Dave, thank you for calling in, or chiming in, rather. And let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Tony in Bradenton. Hey, Tony, you're on M&F. Thank you for calling. What would you like to say? Hi, Tony. You're on M&F. What would you like to say? Tony?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good. What would you like to say?
I've been watching this whole, I guess, COVID thing, I guess, since March or whatever. And I was looking at the death rate numbers. As of now, globally, the death rate is 2.52. In the United States, the global death rate is 2.5%. I don't know. Confusion when they talk about number of people catching it versus the number of people who've recovered. More positive, and looking into that or exploring that area, you know, 48 million caught it in the world, 32 million have recovered. I think that's a bit more resilient to talk about than just to stay in the slumps of, you know.
Are you saying that the death rate is not really serious with COVID? Is that your bottom line?
No, I'm saying the death rate is 2.5%.
All right,
in the U.S. and 2.6% globally. I remember it being a little bit higher than that back in April or May, I can't remember. But I just think that the media should reverse and become a bit more resilient with this a little, you know.
I'm still trying to figure out your point.
My point is, I always hear about people catching it. I never hear about people recovering from it. That's my point.
So you're saying that people recover from COVID?
I'm saying that the death rate, look at worldometer.com. It's right on there. The information's on there.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out your point. Tony, thank you very much for calling in. It's great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Karen in Dunedin. Karen, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I just don't think we should really polarize all Trump supporters. I have a granddaughter-in-law, and her whole little family was at the rally yesterday, and they are, she's a sweet young girl, and none of them have had masks on, and their family actually had the virus. So I just think we can't really polarize them. Some of them are just, you know, misguided. They have their reasons. A lot of it for my family members is religious. I just hope they don't get it again, you know. But I'm sorry that Daniel got spit on. There are some that are confrontational and just not very nice people, but we shouldn't be spreading that because there's people that are Democrats that are not very nice people either. I'm not saying like Trump, you know, like Charlottesville. I'm just saying that I've heard some liberal friends name call and not be kind and peace.
All right, Karen, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Antonio in Riverview. Antonio, you're on. What would you like to say?
How you doing, Rob?
I'm good. What's up?
Nothing. I just want to comment on a certain, you know, the rallies and everything else, you know, especially for, you know, I have nothing against anyone. I think there's a lot of facts that are being, you know, tossed around that are not true. You know, if there's a pants on fire meter, I think Trump would come on butt naked. But in general, you know, there's always a make America great again. But I think there's a lot of problems socially with the United States. We don't follow what the preamble of the Constitution says. It strictly says in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and provide for the common defense and promote general welfare. You know, we're not doing that as a country. The country has always been great. We don't have to make it great again. We just need to establish the social ability to deal with everyone and just be what we're supposed to be. Because this country is made up of people who came from other countries, whether they were in the bottom of a boat as a slave or they were already here as indigenous people. You know, the thing is that we don't treat each other the way we should be. And this election, whether it falls back to Trump or Biden, either one of them have to come forward and do what they're supposed to unite the country, not divide it as it is. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Antonio, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's go back again to yesterday and hear from both President Trump and Joe Biden. They were campaigning in Tampa. And this is some of what they said during their campaign events in Tampa.
We know the disease, we social distance, we do all of the things that you have to do. If you get close, wear a mask.
Thank you for wearing your mask, and thank you for the social distancing. President Trump's super spreader events, and he's spreading more virus around the country and here in Florida today. He's spreading division in addition.
Joe Biden's plan is to deliver punishing lockdowns. He's going to lock you down. There will be no school, no graduations, no weddings, no Thanksgivings, no Christmases, no 4th of July's. There will be nothing. They will allow you nothing.
I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus right here in Florida. It's up to you. You hold the key. If Florida goes blue, it's over. It's over.
5 days from now, we are going to win Florida. We are going to win 4 more years in the White House. We are going to defeat the Marxists and the socialists and the rioters and the flag burners and the left-wing extremists.
Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. He knows when America votes,
that reject people like him. We choose hope over fear. We choose unity over division. And we choose science over fiction. And yes, we choose truth over lies.
Well, some of what Joe Biden and President Trump said yesterday as they campaigned in Tampa, a really important place to try to win this election. If you can win the I-4 corridor from Sarasota and St. Petersburg and Tampa all the way over to Daytona Beach, that is the fulcrum on which Florida decides who will it support for president. And if President Trump gets a lot of votes here and across the I-4 corridor, he's likely to win, especially if he defeats Biden in big numbers, and vice versa. It's interesting, I think, that the president said that he was running against Marxists, socialists, rioters, and left-wing extremists there in that soundbite. I wonder if you were to characterize Trump voters, how would you characterize them? If Biden voters are Marxists, socialists, rioters, and left-wing extremists, how would you characterize the Trump side? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Jeff writes this, I have some suspicion that we may not know the winner for some time. I'm thinking it might be similar to the 2000 election in which the winner was declared 5 weeks after, writes Jeff. And then Patrick writes this, the sound, you're trying to make me barf, Rob. The sound of that orange piece of garbage's voice is enough to make me lose some weight. I hope you'll start to correct this behavior beginning on 11-3-2020. That's Patrick who's out there criticizing me. Thank you, Patrick. 813-239-9663. And Tim in Mulberry, a lot of name calling going on here. Anyone that votes for Biden pinpoints themselves as an idiot. That's Tim in Mulberry's thoughts. You know, I think we ought to tone it down, if you guys don't mind. I mean, the president did do some name-calling there, calling his opponents Marxists, socialists, rioters, and left-wing extremists. But let's try to tone it down. I think, starting with us, what do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff says he's being called out. Jeff, are you in Newport Richey? Where are you?
Hey, yep. This is Jeff from Newport Richey.
All right, Jeff. What would you like to say?
Well, I was specifically called out by name. I'll give you my email address. You can send me that link. I'll watch it.
Okay. Why don't you want to give it out over the air?
I don't care. I'll give it out over the air.
Okay. Here you go. So, John, if you're listening in Port Richey, get out your pen and pencil. Go ahead.
All right. It's jffprr@live.com. Send me that link.
Okay. That saves me a trip. So, Jeff, thank you for that. So what would you like to say?
I was going to say, you could answer me directly because you have the email I sent you this morning about George Lopez. Do you people really believe that 4 more years of George Lopez is going to destroy the planet? Is that what Joe Biden was saying when he called President Trump George?
Yeah, Jeff, I think that you're off in the weeds, too, and I'd rather not go there. I have no idea what you're talking about. Thank you very much for calling, though. Let's go to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Jose, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, I think Jeff is completely confused with the idea that he wasn't talking about George Lopez. He was talking to George Lopez, who was giving the interview at the time.
You're talking about Biden is talking to
right,
George
right.
Lopez. Okay.
Just so he's clear on that. I know it's what did you call it, that weird thing, facts. But sometimes facts can be your friends. Aside from that, I just really love the idea that they were talking to Trump supporters about the Hunter Biden thing, and most of them had no idea what it was even about or what the details were. And I noticed that we talked about it yesterday. I noticed that Tucker Carlson got his package back from UPS,
and it was opened, and something was stolen out of it.
Oh yeah, something was stolen out of it. It was probably from that firm that they were getting all the information from, called Typhoon Investigations.
You mean the fake firm that doesn't exist?
Exactly, from the self-identified Swiss, I'm reading from NBC right now, Swiss security analyst named Martin Aspect.
who doesn't exist, who they create a fake photo to create this guy.
I love it.
Yeah, you and I are pretty deep in the weeds now, Jose, too. But I think people should look up, if you're interested in Hunter Biden, look at the NBC story about the fake dossier that propelled that story, too. Jose, thanks a lot.
All right, no problem.
Okay, we are deep in the weeds here. Let's talk about the election. Kevin writes this, Trump's use of the village people is hilarious. The irony is most amusing. Who said the Trump people don't have a sense of humor? Yeah, the village people, really out gay activists, a really great group of people, pumping a message of equality for the GLBTQ people. And it's interesting that President Trump would use a gay anthem as his theme song. Very interesting. 813-239-9663. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to Chuck in Tampa, who was also called out earlier. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Well, before the rain washed him away, at least Sleepy Joe didn't say truth over facts. He said that the last time. He can never get his words straight. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. But you working at a radio station, I've listened to WMNF, I'm going to say 15 years now. You know how hard it is to generate buzz and, you know, generate an audience. You got the same 10 people calling pretty much every day, 10, 15.
Including
people.
You, I should say, Chuck. We give you time, yes. This show we've had about 15 people email and call in, but go ahead.
It's amazing the amount of people that showed up at that rally in 24 hours to support Donald Trump.
Okay, and is that the final point?
Well, no, that's not my final point. I'd like to propose a question. How many WMNF listeners went out and saw Sleepy Joe Biden yesterday? That's really what I wanted to know.
All right. There I go. Chuck, thanks a lot. Now, my understanding, and I talked to some reporters who went to the Biden rally yesterday, and that I get most of the Biden press releases just as I get most of the Trump press releases. And yesterday, the Biden people did not send out a press release nor an invitation to the public to come to his event. I talked to some reporters, and they said the way the event was organized is that it was by invitation only. They couldn't handle a large crowd. They didn't want people just showing up. So it was invitation only, and they restricted the parking lot to people who had invitations. I'll just leave it at that. You can make of that what you will. But it wasn't the Trump rally extended an invitation to everybody who wanted to come. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jeanette in Gulfport. Hi, Jeanette. What would you like to say?
Well, I would like to say that if we're Marxists and all these other names they're calling us, then they're fascists. And I also wanted to say that I'm sure that no journalist got spit on at the Biden rally.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true. Yes.
And also I'd like to say that if they're going to spit on the media reporters, at the Trump rallies, are they going to spit on the Fox News reporters too? Because they're for Trump. So is it okay to be for Trump and be a reporter, but not okay to be against Trump and be a reporter? Because that is basically fascism right there.
All right, Jeanette, thank you. Thank you. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Mike in St. Pete says, Trump fans have a lot of anger and use Archie Bunker in the White House to vent that for pretty much any ridiculous reason. That's a Mike's email. And then Dave writes this. He said, I'd be curious to know if all Trump supporters support Trump taking the gray wolf off the endangered species list, writes Dave, who's in Dunedin. I have no idea, Dave. Thank you. Let's go back to the phones and take some more phone calls. And despite, and I think Chuck's right, we do have some regular callers, but I really try to make room for new callers who've never called before, or when I see a new name on there, I try to grab them first, especially women, too. And let's go to Mike in Bradenton. Mike, thank you for calling Radioactivity on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. You're a weasel, and Danny in Tampa is a pant load.
Is that what we got, name calling today?
Why not? You called them snowflakes last week.
Well, I called the guy who ran away from his phone when I wanted to ask him an important question, a snowflake. And then I later said, well, maybe I shouldn't have done it. Mike, if you're a Trump supporter and you're going to name call, thank you very much. It's good to hear from you. I'm glad you were able to get a few minutes of valuable airtime speaking to a potential audience of 4 million people. Let's go to Ben in Tampa. Ben, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What would you like to say?
All right. Amusing observation I've noticed on yard signs this year around. Last election, 4 years ago, I could hardly see any Hillary yard signs. And I live only about a half a mile north of the station. Jill Stein, Gary Johnson, even some leftover Bernie Sanders ones. But hardly any Hillary ones. This year, there's tons of Biden signs. So I'm wondering if the last time around people were just too ashamed to put out a Hillary sign, even though they were going to vote for her anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what's up. All right, Ben, thanks a lot. I don't know what's up with that, but thank you. All right, interesting point. Ruben writes this, I exhort listeners to see the new documentary film from Alex Gibney. The documentary is about how our government handled the response to the COVID-19 outbreak during the early months of the pandemic. And he says it's on YouTube, and you can see it for free. So thank you, Ruben, for suggesting that film. I always love a good documentary film. By the way, WMNF exists on donations from listeners. You're able to hear the voices of these dozens of people who are calling from all over the Bay Area because we have had some generous support over the last 41 years. We did a fundraiser last Friday and Saturday, and it came up short. And if you believe that this little radio station should continue to exist, where you can hear interesting conversations 5 days a week and on Sundays, please make a contribution to help keep this radio station on the air. This is an independent radio station. We don't have to worry about corporate control or big government control. We exist on listener donations, and the donations from listeners give us independence. So please make your contribution now at WMNF.org because we're still several thousand dollars short from last week's fund drive. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Veronica, who's in Tampa, who wants to talk about young voters. Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
So I actually went out and voted today, and it's just, I went to Jan Kamenis. I don't know if it's too much information, but it was a library, and just a lot of, like, people were out. I just thought it was really funny that going out to vote was such a sporting event. It's just very, like, just to see, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, it makes me mad that health is a political issue, and it makes me mad that my friends don't know what the news is, because it's just not available to it. It's several things, but I went and I made sure that I voted. I'm a little nervous, honestly, because I really love this radio station. But, I don't know why it's such a debate on, like, whether or not we should be safe or not. It's kind of concerning.
Veronica, were there a lot of people voting at the Jan Platt Library?
It was actually kind of funny. There was, like, groups of people with signs out, and they weren't even affiliated, but they were, like, they were actually from different parties, but they were standing fairly close to each other. So I thought it was really funny because although both people were there, like, kind of protesting against each other, I want to say, like, just having, you know, they were both not being safe about COVID or anything. And mind you, like, a lot of people think, this gentleman called earlier, he said the death rate was 2.6%. A lot of people think it's not a big deal, when in reality, it's 2.6%. It's been 2.6% because that's just the virus's fatality rate, not necessarily the, like, like, it's going to be relative to the population that's infected. It's going to be 2.5% forever. And that's still a lot, considering it's near how much, you know, the fatality rate of the flu is.
Yeah, it's much higher than the flu fatality rate. Veronica, could I ask, are you young, and do you think your friends are going to vote?
Yeah, my friends are all, yeah, we're making it a thing. That's the thing. Like, we all went on iSideWith.com. It's a non-for-profit website, probably the most popular one right now. We figured out some stuff about our own candidates and then did some research. It's really nice. A little pump compass. Excuse me, compass. We went to go get breakfast, and then we voted. We made it a whole event.
Oh, that's really fun. Important. What's that website again?
iSideWith.com. It's a nonpartisan website. I really, really recommend it.
All right, iSideWith.com. All right, Veronica, thanks a lot.
Of course. You guys have a good one.
Okay, you too. Thanks for calling in. You sounded great. And let's go to Michelle, who's in Tampa. Hey, Michelle, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, if I wanted to address Chuck's comment about how many Biden supporters went to his rally. And at this point in time in the game, I don't really think that Biden supporters need to go to a rally. Everybody that is a Biden supporter, does, you know, they already know what he's about. There's no reason to go. We've, you know, a lot of us have already voted early. So, I mean, I think that the percentage of people who are undecided is extremely small at this point. So, I mean, even though Trump is holding all these rallies and stuff, the people that are there are not going there because they're trying to hear his message and decide on whether or not they're going to vote for him. Most of the people already have voted for him. So, Chuck, it doesn't make sense what you said.
All right. Michelle, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Great to hear from you. Stephen writes this: I believe Trump is fascist, and I wish we could end this division and work together again, writes Stephen. And then Brian of West Tampa writes, Karen thinks that, one of our callers, Karen, thinks that Biden supporters, or liberals, as she called them, are nasty like Trump and his supporters. Volunteers at West Tampa's Casa Biden last week during an old-fashioned flag-waving event had a big Trump supporters slow down to a crawl and then suddenly rev his engine and release diesel fumes on all of us who were flag-waving. Another Trump trucker blew his horn very loud, without a muffler, and scared the bejesus out of us, writes Brian, who's in West Tampa. Brian, thank you for that. And next caller, we're going to go to Joe in Clearwater, who says he's a Trump supporter. Thank you, Joe. What would you like to say?
Well, I'm going to be surprised if this gets on the air, but I'm being very civil. This is a true observation that I have. I've seen the blank look on Joe Biden's face, which really makes me think that he's in, I don't know if it's the early stages of dementia, but I definitely believe that he has dementia. And people that vote for Biden are actually going to be voting for Kamala Harris as president.
For Kamala Harris. Yeah, you know, Joe, you're not the first one to say that here on MNF, so we didn't censor you, but thank you. Thank you for calling in. Chuck says that almost every day. Let's go to Grayson in Northport. Grayson, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to say that you're still a weasel and Danny in Tampa is still a pant load.
Okay. I'm not sure that's very entertaining. I mean, it's old and it doesn't advance the dialogue. If you have something smart to say, you should call in, but don't call in and just name call. It's not helpful, and it really doesn't show your side very well, if I could say. Let's go to Neil in St. Pete. Neil, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
A quick point on the retaliation of what I would say about Trump supporters. I would say that they are very sad lemmings that might take us all over the cliff with them.
But everybody's calling names. And give us an example.
They're blind followers. You know, they're just blind followers, and it's unfortunate. But I really want to start that voter turnout.
Okay. You want people to turn out to vote. All right, Neil, thanks a lot.
No,
thank you.
That is wasn't it, but thank you.
All right, thank you. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And try to do something other than name-calling. If you've got an important fact or statistic, we'd really like to hear it. Thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. Coming up next, Janelle Irwin will be here on the Midpoint program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rob Lori. Have a great weekend. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I've got 8 guests on my TV show tonight, so I hope you tune in. It's at